But I'm on the outside and I'm looking in. I can see through you, see your true colors. Because inside you're ugly like me. I can see through you, see to the real you.
Thanks, Mark.
How Who is doing? That? Stained.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard that.
It's a classic. It's like a Creed classic, okay, one of those alternative rocks.
Yeah, back in the 90s.
Yeah, so it came up a couple of times in my gym playlist this week, and I was like, you know what? That's the song.
That's the song.
Yeah,
that's the song, man.
I blasted it a couple of times on the way here and a couple of times yesterday, so there you go. Man.
Thanks for coming in. I know we've been chatting quite a bit on DMs and stuff and been watching what you've been up to, and then I got interested in you because of all the triathlete stuff that you were doing on, man. How many have you done?
I did 2 full Ironmans and 3 half Ironmans.
At what age were you at?
Recently. So I just got into it kind of like a COVID thing that I picked up, you know. So first one was 2021 and then 2022.
Was it, how young are you?
I'm 38.
Yeah, you're younger than me. Mm-hmm. Was it difficult for you to say, I'm going to give this a try?
Not really. It was more of a challenge. I had someone who I became really good friends with during COVID, who said, you know what, you should try this. I was riding my bike a lot.
Yep.
And he's like, you should try running and swimming. And I was like, oh no, that seems terrible. And he's like, no, just try it. So I started running. I hadn't run in 10 years. As soon as I ran one time, I was like, okay, like I can do this. And then next thing you know, you sign up for an Ironman and you dedicate a full year of training to it. It's just constant inconsistent hours, like it was, you know, 15 to 16 hours a week of training.
Yeah it's hard,
yeah.
And then how was the body at that point? Like, was it beaten up
at first? Yeah, it takes a lot of beating, but over time, like, your body gets used to it. Obviously when you do the races, your body takes a beating and you're supposed to take some rest periods off, but I didn't take the amount of rest off after and kept on going. I kept on going it for 2 years, and then you know, I kind of paid the price this year. I had to take a step back.
I'm curious on how you balance the GC and the Ironman. Like, how do you balance, or you take a break?
The work definitely suffered a little bit during like peak Ironman training sessions.
Yeah.
So like the months when we did it. So say we did one in like August, the July and June leading up to it, I wasn't like fully present there. And then like looking back, you're like, okay, I made, you know, hundreds of mistakes during that. So it was very hard to balance. We did it. We got by, mainly like financial mistakes that I end up taking on the chin. But I learned from that and then,
take it
to the next one. So probably next year we'll do one and I'll have a more of a balance on it.
Yeah.
And it's not just that too. It's like it consumed my whole life. And at that point I needed something to take in. So I had nothing going on then. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to dedicate everything I have to that. It was the business and training for the Ironman.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. I want to introduce everybody. So Mark Davies is here. Davies General Contracting Inc. info@daviesgc.ca. info@daviesgc.ca. And then his phone number is 905-746-5625. And find him on Instagram under @davies.gc. I'm wearing Antonio's t-shirt today, Aquastop waterproofing. Thanks so much, man. And are you ready to take your construction business to the next level? Consider joining the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program, TAP, where skilled professionals connect, collaborate, and grow together. Our network is built on mutual respect and the shared goal of always building better. As a member, you'll have access to a wealth of resources designed to streamline your operations and attract more clients. From a 30-minute assessment call with myself to expert consultations in business, finance, and health, we've got you covered. Your business information will be featured at www.theconstructionlife.com, complete with certifications, logos, and geo-targeting to help you reach the right audience. Promote your business with a 30-second advert across TCL's social channels and our popular podcasts. Get exclusive access to TCL networking events and roundtable shows where you can connect with other tradespeople and general contractors, plus enjoy TCL merchandise, member-exclusive content, and a spot in the TAP directory online. We're going to promote you guys to homeowners across Facebook groups. Don't miss out on this opportunity to elevate your business. Become a member of the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program today and start reaping the benefits. Visit us at www.theconstructionlife.com for more details, or DM us through any of the social platforms, or text me directly at 416-433-5737 to learn more and consider being a TAP member today. I guess, was there a lot of clarity when you were doing the Ironman? Not in the beginning, but during it?
What do you mean by clarity?
Mental clarity. Because you're in your zone. Like you're in, it's almost like you're the only person on the planet, no?
Correct.
Right? Yeah, that's where the clarity is, where I was going from.
So for me, it was very like, I don't know what to say the word is, but it was a huge mental, building mental toughness. And then also therapeutical, I guess. So riding your bike in the morning or running in the morning, first of all, no one's up. I'm up before everybody.
Which is great.
I'm up. There's no one on the road. My phone's not buzzing.
Yeah.
No one's bugging me, and I have like not a care in the world. And I'm just like out there. You just go. I live in Burlington, so I'm down by the lake.
Close.
The sun's rising up against the water. It doesn't get much better than that. Whether you're running, riding your bike down there, it's a perfect way to start your day. And then you're doing something for your body and your mind. Sets the tone for the day for me, at least. You get out there, get your exercise, and then I can go whatever comes up at work, whatever. I just rode my bike for 2 hours in the morning, had a tough workout. Nothing is going to compare to the workout that I just had in the morning.
What do you, you had a road bike?
Yeah, I have a road bike and a specific triathlon racing bike.
What's the difference between?
They're set up. So a road bike is meant for, you know, strictly just cycling with roads. It's good handling and everything, good brakes.
Yeah.
The triathlon TT bike is meant for speed, not handling, and you're in an aero position. So you're like down on your handlebars.
Yeah.
You know, more power. And then it's like configured better so that you can hop off your bike and start running.
Do clients, I guess, treat you differently because you're so focused on this side of your personal life that when they get wind of it?
I think they have a respect for it.
Yeah, that's what I
figured. Like they admire and acknowledge the dedication to it. Yeah. And then they can see it too. Like when, you know, I'm coming in, I'm in pretty good shape. And you can tell right away. You walk in, people go, "Do you work out?" It's like, yeah, obviously I work out. Yes.
Yeah.
And then you tell them kind of, not a lot of people know what like Ironmans are. And you tell them that and they're like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you did. Like you did what this weekend and you're here? Like I've gone to work. I did the Ironman and I went to work on Monday. Like we did it on Saturday or we did it on Sunday. And then I was at work on Monday morning. And they're like, "What are you doing here?"
You were physically fine?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought.
We were just so busy. I was like, I took the time off before to train. I got to get back to work. Like, so for moving forward,
So you're just moving slower.
Yeah, slow. Like, so the first couple ones, it's like your legs are like completely like locked up. Like, and people are like, "What are you doing?" You're kind of walking around like it's like a tin man or something. Like,
well, this is what I was doing over the weekend. What were you up to, right? Yeah.
But like the last one I did, we planned for some time after. So we went to like the spa and like did cold plunge and the sauna and everything.
Did it help?
100%. Yeah. So that, I would do that if it's available, you do something like that. Like I don't need to jet back to work right away.
I'm just curious. I have a lot of respect for you that you've done it. I've always been curious about it. I remember when my older brother back in his early 20s, he did the first Toronto Marathon. He did it one time and it was a challenge. He trained for it for a while and he did it. It was hard. And I saw him do it and I was like, I don't know if I could physically do that. I don't think I'm a marathoner. I don't think I can. I could take a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. I used to train when I was younger, but as you get older, it becomes harder to train. You're not doing mass. Mm-hmm. You're not pushing hard. You're maintaining and you just want, like, I'm constantly walking. I'm constantly stretching. I'm still doing stuff because I don't want any aches or pains. That's all it is. I've seen enough men in their 50s with aches. I'm seeing guys in construction in their 30s with aches and pains.
Oh, yeah. I see some of the younger, I see some of the tile setters and hardwood guys already.
And if they're looking like that at that age, what are they going to look like at 50, right?
Yeah, not good.
I kind of remind them, guys, you need to change something here.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's knee pads or if it's something. That rolling stool or whatever it is. I don't know if it's that, but you're right. Tile setters are the ones that really beat up their body, not realizing they're beating. And clients are just choosing bigger tiles to even set. And it's that awkward point of holding.
Like lifting it from the side. Yeah. That's kind of like, I share some of my fitness stuff on my business page too. And like,
which is great.
The guys that work around me know that like, I'm very like health focused and like, I try to rub off on these guys. Like, cause you know, some of these guys, this is what they're doing for the rest of their life. And if you don't start making healthy choices now at 25, 30, 35, like what's going to happen in 5, 10, 15 years. You're doing this hard job.
Yep.
And then you're doing stuff on the weekend that you probably shouldn't be doing.
Yep.
Like, something's got to give. Like, and you don't have a backup plan. You've been a trade your whole life. Like, you got to start thinking ahead. So,
do they listen?
Some guys do. Some guys appreciate it. Some guys, you're stubborn. Like, I'm young. When I was young, I still am stubborn.
We are.
So stubborn now to the fall.
We were invincible. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do any wrong. Yeah. We could eat as much as we want. Didn't matter if it was bad or good. Yeah. We'll just consume. I'm not saying that you would drink a load to the point where you got some issues. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we do that as young people.
Yeah.
And it's not until I think you turn 30, you start realizing, hang on, it's like, why is it different?
Yeah.
Everything just feels different. And I just tell them, yeah, wait till you turn 40. Wait till you turn 50.
Yeah.
There's lots of differences at that point.
Yeah.
But you got to just, I say, get ahead of it.
Yeah, that's, I'm glad. Like, I started late. For me, that was like a 2020. I was 34. And that's when it hit.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to do something. Like, I can't sustain this. I'm going to die.
What were you feeling? Like, were you feeling fatigue or something like that?
Well, I got sick. So during COVID, I got diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. So it's like a bowel disease.
Oh, wow.
So I was not healthy, not a healthy lifestyle.
Is that genetic or is that?
There's a bit of it genetic in there. I'm leaning towards it was a years and years of unhealthy and bad decisions made. So
food,
diet, lifestyle, you name it, all of it. Any stress from work, like the stress.
It would contribute?
Yeah, they say it all like wraps into one. So that happened July 2020, right then and there.
Right when the pandemic basically.
It was sparked up in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Right then and there, I said, that's it, done. Stopped drinking, stopped eating like crap, started doing triathlons, started lifting weights, started eating extremely healthy. Mindset, like I was working at a job before, I'd lost that job, and then that's when I started Davies GC, and I was like, you know what? I got to do this all on my own. And like, I got to be in control of everything. Cause it's like your mind and your body, everything.
You ever feel, Mark, like, cause I feel this sometimes, you feel extremely weak, and I'm not talking about the physical or anything that's going on in your life. You just feel like you're all alone and you can't turn to anybody. And then all of a sudden you realize you ask questions and you realize you're the only person who can answer the questions.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what happens, right? Yeah. And then you start to wonder, well, nobody coming, man.
Simple yeah, nobody's coming to save you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There might be odd person who kind of texts you or calls you. Mm-hmm. How you doing? How's everything? Shit like that. But it almost feels like an emptiness towards you. Mm-hmm. And then you realize you really are on your own. And it's not that you're trying to be a dick. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to be like this lone wolf, so to speak, or whatever. But I think a lot of it has to do with you want to figure out the equation on your own.
Yeah. That's how you learn, right?
That's how it is.
Yeah, like I think that's great. Like the last 4 years, really, you hit it on the head right there. Like I went through a lot and I did most of it all on my own. Like I figured it all out. The business, my health, everything. It was me. That's it.
I find it really fascinating speaking to so many people. They achieve some of the best things regarding their construction business or even their personal lives. When these hardships are just not even knocking on the door, they're not even touching the Ring doorbell. They're like slamming that door wide open.
Yeah.
And that's when they achieve it. Right. So you get diagnosed with this and all of a sudden you're just feeling weak. You have a certain lifestyle and then you just change everything and it starts to get better
slowly,
but it got better. Right.
Yeah. Way better.
And that's the thing to tell the younger generation. It's like, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to get fixed overnight.
No,
because it didn't get broken overnight. Mm-hmm. It took some time. It probably took your 20s, right?
Well, it's still taking, like, I'm still going through it. I just had a flare up in the summer. I just briefly talked about it too outside. I went 4 years with feeling like it took me 4 years to build up, feel great, everything, stepping stone each step of the way. And then I just got knocked down like almost to where I was for 4 years ago. And I was doing everything right. So I was like looking at myself being like, why do I deserve this? Like, what did I do? Like, what do I do differently? And now it's like, what did I learn? What's this trying to teach me? I was like, oh, I'm trying to take on too much work. Like, I'm trying to do everything. I need to slow down to speed up.
Because we have those days, right? We have those days where it's like, we get it. Your reno, your house, money. It's the ultimate priority in the life that's going on right here. But nobody really wants to pay attention to what each individual, whether it's the GC, the client, or the trades, what they're going personally, right? Mm-hmm. And then it kind of gives you an idea of perspective.
Yeah.
What's really valuable there, right? So, I mean, there's been plenty of times I've gone through hardships on a job, mm-hmm. kept it to myself.
Yeah.
For good reason, because I didn't want it to be, I guess, a card that they could use. Yeah. I'm talking client-wise.
Yeah.
And I definitely didn't want to see the crew mm-hmm. to see the person who's supposed to be leading the ship in any kind of resistance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I to be honest, I tried to do that. Like
it doesn't work all the time.
I was showing up and people could physically see that I wasn't doing well. And I tried to wear the mask to the point where I ended up just like telling, first I told the clients, I said, hey, I'm not feeling well. Like, just to let you know, like, I'm going to do my best to be around. And every single one of them, I'm so glad I did. They were all like, I had the best clients, like hands down. They were all like, do what you got to do. Our reno doesn't matter.
Good.
We know everything's been so smooth, so on the ball before. Good. Like, just continue. Like, if we have to take a week off, whatever, no problem. So instant stress, like, thank God. Because you get some clients. I know I've had previous clients in the past years. If I said that to them, they would have told me to FO. Like, we don't give a shit.
We don't care about
it. We don't care. But these clients, we're all, do what you got to do. We know that your health is important. And then I tell them what I have too. Oh, our daughter has that. We know exactly like that. We dealt with this our whole life. So I was like, thank God I told him that. And then the next thing I know, I'm in the hospital. I'm like, hey, I'm like off for the next 2 weeks. Like, see you later. They're like, message when you're done. Get better soon. The project will finish. Like, the guys knew what they were doing too. Like, so, but yeah, it was, I'm glad I ended up speaking up about it. But I have had other stuff too, where you just bury it and, like, you know, that's it. Like, just go to work, get it done. And
unfortunately, I mean, there's a lot of guys in the business that do that, right?
Yeah.
They just keep it to themselves, but you never know. Just having a brief conversation with somebody might contribute to you trying to figure out your next day.
Yeah.
Right? But it's hard, right?
Very hard, yeah.
Were you antsy to get back on the job site? Like,
why? Yeah, like, I was still, like, I said I wasn't working, but, like, I was...
You missed the environment.
Yeah, like, you know, it's my company. Like, I need to know how things are running, who's doing what.
Text somebody and go, listen, somebody bring me a tape measure here.
Yeah,
there's no tape measures in the hospital.
Yeah, like, I had my laptop. I was still like, you know, we were in the middle of like quoting big jobs and stuff and like invoicing and things like that. It's like, I had to get done. Like, when we're a smaller company, so sometimes it's like, if I'm not doing it, then nothing's getting done around there. So
you started the Davies business around mm-hmm. the same time that was going on. Mm-hmm. And then you were working for somebody before then?
Yeah, I had it on the side because I eventually knew I wanted to get into this like on my own. I saw like an opportunity working for this other company. I was there for about 7 years. I learned everything, what to do and what not to do. Great company that I worked for. Like, I learned a lot. It was high stress, lots of jobs on the go.
Why was it?
The turnover was insane. You were always like,
the deadline was just always there.
Yeah, it was. I think I had a number of like, I was there for 7 years. I saw like over 150 PMs come in and go. Like, at one point, there was 20 PMs working there.
Oh.
And I was there the longest out of anyone. I was the last project manager to stand, and then they had gotten rid of everybody, and then COVID hit, and then they got rid of me, which is fine. It was the best thing that ever happened to me was leaving that company, like, hands down. But, yeah, so I learned everything.
What to do, what
I learned,
to do.
Like, the best sales guys ever worked there. Going into sales calls with them, amazing. Some of the best PMs, same thing. Learn everything from them.
What was the jewel that they taught you, the sales guy? I know that we talk a lot about, listen, don't give up. Like, everybody gives up after the third or fourth call, right?
Yeah.
And then it's not until the ninth or 11th call that you actually get a lead.
Honestly, the top sales guy there was a one-sit sale guy. He was like first call sales. Like,
what was he doing?
Kitchens, basins, bathrooms, putting it on the handwritten across the table. Like, we're signing up today and it's sitting in front of you. Awkward silence. Like,
really?
Yeah.
That's how he would do it?
Yeah, like, he was good. He was a seller.
And how was the client reacting to that? They were just obviously, they were taking it back,
yeah,
right?
Like, we had a wide range of, like, they had a very reputable name in the neighborhood, too. So it was, like, their name stood for itself, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they just had, he was very good at selling, very persuasive. Compared to what, like, I'm learning now in sales is completely different. Like, you're, like you mentioned, like 10 points of contact before you're getting like some of these jobs. They did a wide range of jobs too. So we're talking like 20 to, you know,
so they 250, had
a lot to sell versus some of the jobs we're going for now, you know, they're anywhere from like 150 to 500,000. No one's first sit signing 150 to 500,000.
Nope.
You've got three other contractors. You're going through everything, which I get, and which we know, like, we're planning for that.
Attention homeowners and businesses. Are you looking for top-notch electrical contracting services you can trust? Consider the expert tradesperson behind Effect Electric LTD. They take pride in delivering quality, service, and professional installation on time and on budget. From Kohler generators to main service upgrades or network data installation, they do it all. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Carlo and his team at Effect Electric LTD are your go-to professionals for all your electrical and generator needs. Effect Electric LTD is an authorized Kohler home energy generator dealer. Kohler has air-cooled 26 RCA units, the quietest, the most powerful, and exceptionally durable generator with 109 amps max power on liquid propane. Custom color options, camouflage options, and every generator Kohler makes is built to last and is equipped with a commercial-grade engine. Call Effect Electric LTD today at 416-508-7725 or visit them at effectelectricltd.kohlergeneratordealer.com. Let's build something great together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
But yeah, completely different.
How's sale? I know that sales these days, I've just been telling everybody that the clients are basically just doing their homework and they're probably getting more than three bids. If not, they're getting six or seven bids, yeah, right?
I try to find that out.
Beforehand to even sit down, right?
Yeah, like we're working on adding steps in our sales process and calling it, like working with someone's called filtering fast, figuring out right from the hop if they're the client that you want even want to pursue. Yep. Like how many quotes are you getting? You know, who else are you quoting against?
Yep.
Like, are you quoting against the five guys that I know that are kind of in my like realm? Or is three of those guys from Kijiji? Like that you got recommended from Kijiji or you just found them. Like if you're quoting with the Kijiji guys, I'm sorry, we're just nowhere near it. Like, oh, my cousin's brother's going to do it. Honestly, go with him. Like, it's fine. Like, I don't want to waste anybody's time.
I just
time.
Get the sense that clients these days are all about the numbers.
Yeah, they are.
They're not about the quality. They're not about the rep. They're not about long-term rentals.
Yeah.
We're flipping the house, not forever our home.
Yeah, which is what we're trying, like, we're trying to, like, you know, show them where the value in hiring like a professional general contractor is. And like, this is why you do it. Like, we're going to guide you through every step of the process. Like, I'm going to be here. Like, I'm texting you, calling you 24/7. Like, the trades we have are professional trades. Like, that's all they do. This tile setter, he only does tile. That's it. You know, this hardwood guy only does hardwood. It's not one guy coming in and doing your whole job. Like, it's kind of the model. Like, if you want that, once again, go to the groups online,
yeah.
Get that guy, you'll get a better deal. Does he have WSAB? Probably not. Is he insured? No. Like, you know, does he have good tools? Does he have any training?
Will it last?
Yeah.
Will there be a callback?
Yeah, or maybe he's good and guess what? You know what? You got a good deal. That's fine. But we're, after 4 years of like kind of taking whatever we can get, now it's, you know, I only want to work with certain people. Like, there's really like, there is our client. They're there. There's enough work for everybody too. So,
but you're not advertising. You're still. It's like the word is out there.
Yeah, it's word of mouth. We're gonna do some. We're working on some like SEO and Google Ads coming up probably for the new year to see, just to dabble into it.
I would just say, get in and get out quick.
Yeah.
Don't commit to the point where listening to digital people, so to speak. Oh, it's gonna take about six, maybe nine, or maybe even a year.
Yeah.
To see some sort of return on investment.
Yeah.
I think you need an answer a lot sooner than that.
That's good to know.
When it goes to that, that's all. Because I've seen a lot of guys go that route. I've seen a lot of guys do that on social media with IG and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I know that at first it may seem like pennies at the, you know, to get some sort of reach or some sort of exposure. But you got to start quantifying the ROI on that, whether or not that's turning into a lead.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So you got to kind of think about, okay, is this where the best dollar is being spent for my purpose, right?
Yeah.
And then what do I want to get out of it? We're like, no different than you're trying to sell your clients. Mm-hmm. You're being sold to.
Yeah.
Right. To use their marketing avenues. And everything's about subscription based these days. Right.
Yeah, so they lock you in. It's good you mentioned that. I do have one of the terms is you can just shut them down whenever you want.
Yeah.
You don't have to sign up for the Google Ads.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, I'm debating on whether we need to do that. Like we have so many bids out right now. Like you go through like the highs and lows, like because I wasn't feeling well. So I missed a huge chunk of sales, like 3 months. So we're, you know, entering a low period. So I'm like, okay, what do we need to do? We have some extra money. Let's pump some into advertising. But then I have a couple referrals that we're dealing with right now. And if I get one out of three of those referrals, I don't need to, because something's going to come up in the next 6 months while these two projects go on. Like, so
I think a lot of the contractors, younger ones, don't review their process. Mm-hmm. I don't think they, for two reasons. Either they don't want to know the bad news.
Yeah.
Or two, they tell themselves, I don't have the time to dig into this.
Yeah.
And those are two really bad reasons, because I think you need to figure out, what are you? It might be you. It might be you, the leader, that's actually doing everything wrong. And it might not be your team or vice versa. But you need to find that information out.
Oh, 100%. And same with, like, I just dove into, so I was like that. I didn't know processes and books. Like, just this year, we really dove into the numbers side of things.
Good.
I got a consultant to come in. And like, what an eye opener. We just had year end and I was like, holy shit.
Impartial, man. Like, they won't know how you're running. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, God damn it. Compared from last year to this year, I'm like, we had like, I knew things didn't go as well this year because we had some major mistakes. 100% my fault. It happens. Tried something new, didn't work out. Tried this, didn't work out, whatever. And then you see what you made last year between this year and you're like, okay, like
there's
then,
a problem.
And then you look at, yeah, then you start looking at, they go through all the costing documents, everything we did, all the pricing models and everything. And he's like, you didn't charge, you know, these three jobs, you didn't charge this on it. You know, there's your profit that you made from the last year. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Thanks for coming. And well worth every penny, well worth every penny I just spent on you. And I didn't want it. Like, I was like, everything was going good because you have cash flow, right?
Yeah.
You have cash in the bank. It's coming out. But then when the cash flow stops, it's like, holy.
So when you got to start paying all the bills.
Yeah. And so I just, I'm in 3 months of dealing with them. And what an eye opener. And they're also, so they're doing like the financial consulting. And then now we're hammering out, like, I had SOPs. And now it's, we're getting the whole playbook for everything down to the, like, you know, sales process all the way to closing. Everything in there on paper. Does it work? Is this what we're actually doing? I know this is what I want to do, but is it actually happening on site? So I'm kind of running it by my site guys too, getting their input, which is, you know, they're not always on the same page as me, but that's life. You know, they're the site guys. I'm the PM.
Like, that's how it works. Yeah.
So I kind of get some of their input, but, you know, there is my way to do it. And like, that's how we are going to do it. Yeah. And whether you like it or not, like, this is the way that
it, but the objective is still the same.
Yeah.
The objective is to become profitable.
Exactly.
Right. I always tell the younger trades, like, when you spell out the word profit, is it lowercase, uppercase? Like, you got to really figure out what your business is doing, right? Mm-hmm. If it's lowercase, then there's something wrong. You might be leaving money on the table, right? Yeah. So you got to figure out what is wrong with the equation here.
Yeah.
And then just face it.
Yeah, exactly.
Simple as that. It's hard, though, when you're younger, like we were saying, you know, you're almost invincible. Same thing applies to construction.
100%.
When you're a young tradesperson, you're like, oh, I can do anything. I can build anything. I can take care of all that stuff. But are you making money? Yeah. Are you succeeding? Are you moving the business forward? Are you just expanding for the eagle? Mm-hmm. Getting the new van, the new tools, the new crew, the new everything.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, pay attention to the old school guys. Sometimes they'll make magic with next to nothing.
Yeah,
right?
And all their vans. They don't have new vans and multiple trucks and everything. They got the old F-150, and it's just like, that's what's worked with them. And, you know, they're going to drive it to 500,000 kilometers. And then they might buy something new. But
definitely. Well, they're going to lease it. That goes back to the subscription. I was just having this conversation this morning. Everyone is just rolling over. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. They're forcing you to get a lease. And the unfortunate thing, I don't want to pick at the younger trades, but a lot of trades were buying those expensive vehicles during COVID, getting locked into those serious interest rates. And I kept on saying, no.
No chance.
Stop. Don't do this. You're stuck now for 5 years on a 10%. Yeah, a 10% interest rate.
I wouldn't even touch it. Wouldn't even care.
I've never in my life thought to myself that Sprinter vans would cost $100,000 to $110,000 for one van, right? And I'm like going, you got to be insane. Why are you spending that money? But then I saw the same thing with the pickup trucks.
Yeah.
Why are you spending this much money on pickup
trucks? I got my F-150 2018. I got Ford employee pricing and 0% financing. For me, they keep on calling me now. When are you going to upgrade? And I'm like,
I know. Because that's what they want.
I'm driving mine till it stops.
I said the exact same thing about mine. I'm like, dude, no.
I have 0% financing.
It's just like, no. I'm going to take care of this vehicle. I'm going to hang on to it for a little bit longer. I don't care that you guys have parking lots full of brand new vehicles.
Yeah.
That's your company's problem, not mine.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to contribute to solving your problem.
No.
Because you're not contributing to solving mine.
No.
So I'm not rolling it over into another interest rate.
No chance.
But now they're stuck, and then, you know, at some point, well, they're learning. This is the first time that this generation in this construction industry is experiencing hardship.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, I think it's off of, like, pretty much you could have, if you didn't do well in the last 4 years, like, there's a problem, right? Like, anybody could have made money. which is what you're starting to see now. It's like you mentioned, they're getting the 6, 7, 8 quotes now. They're shopping it around. Before it was, you're calling these guys and everybody's booked. Oh, I can't even get there. And you're winning jobs. I was winning jobs for just by showing up and getting a quote. It's like we called 3 people. They didn't even want to show up. I showed up, boom, got him a quote in 2 days. Here you go. The job was there for you because everybody was so busy. Now, good luck. No chance. Now it's everybody. Hey, we're getting 4 quotes. You know what? We're going to get one more. And now it's okay how you differentiate yourself.
Because they want to see their dollar stretch, right?
Yeah.
Simple as that. Keep the mic close. Yeah. Just pull it towards you if you want. Yeah, yeah. So they just want to see their dollar, you know, maximize. That's all it is, right? The unfortunate thing is clients are comparing you guys, legit guys, to Kijiji guys.
Yeah. Which is fine. Let's keep it up.
It bugs me.
Yeah.
Because now they're all leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the guys that set up shop during the COVID years are all leaving because they realize I can't make money during this, right?
Yeah.
I can't compete against the legit people.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but that's how construction is. It gets me thinking about how long the current generation is going to stay.
Yeah. Like how long have you been in it for?
Since 15?
15?
Yeah.
What'd you do before?
I was in film production before that. For 15, right?
Yeah.
So I was doing that, but I mean...
And why'd you leave film to go to...
The recession.
Okay.
2009.
Yeah, there you go.
Production was shit.
Yeah.
Nothing was going on. Everything was going south. Everything was going outside of North America. So it was hard to get work at that point. And then also, I always tell... It was a perfect storm. The iPhone was introduced and the recession was hit. So you had a generation who came in who thought that they can be content creators and filmmakers based off of new technology, which... Yes, you can, but could you be good at it?
Yeah.
But a lot of people were coming out of the woodwork saying, yeah, I could be good at it, so I'll use this. And that's how it was basically the birth of social media kind of experts at that point. And now it's an entire industry, right?
Yeah.
So the landscape's completely changed. And then I got into construction from bumping into a friend. And I just looked at construction and like no different than when you went on your own. What is going right and what is going wrong? Mm-hmm. And how can I improve it? What can I do? And all I cared about was really sharing my opinion on what can you improve, right? It was like in the first few months of me being in construction, I start discovering different products because I was questioning the old school ways of doing things. I never understood scratch coat, for
instance. Yeah, I heard that on one of your podcasts. Yeah.
Like I never, from the first time I ever
saw it. From Italy to here.
I never understood that. But yet that was the norm here, right? Then you start deep diving and you realize it's Toronto based. Mm-hmm. All the tile setters were constantly using that Toronto, that scratched chicken wire and then just skimming it and... But then you get cracks after a few years, and that's what happens. So you're like, okay, well, there's a failure. What product doesn't fail at that point? Mm-hmm. Who's been doing their homework and studying? Mm-hmm. And that's how you discover other brands, and you start using better products. Sure, it makes your rental more expensive, but that's what you were trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I never got along with clients that wanted a for sale sign.
Mm-hmm.
The moment I met them and I started talking, I started getting a sense that they just want to put a for sale sign. I'm like, I'm not your guy.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other people. Yeah. I want something that's going to last a little bit longer. I wanted clients to give me a little bit of creative freedom to try different things and just, you know, like you experiment, whether that's wood or stone or paint or whatever it is, you just experiment it. If I was getting started today, I don't know. I think it'd be a challenge because I'm in awe of all the possibilities of things that you can do now. But I think I'd be fighting the clients who will refuse to pay all that stuff.
Yeah.
Even though I'm telling them this is the way it should be done,
they won't
care about that.
Yeah.
I think it's only less than 10% of clients that care about that.
Yeah.
That's the unfortunate thing about it, right? So it's a challenging
time.
Those
are the 10% we want or that we're going for.
Well, one of the biggest compliments I ever got on my second build was from a home automation guy who never met me and came in through the house after it was framed, ready for him to start running his stuff. And all he was doing was complimenting how the framing was all set up and everything was ready, thought process. You know, I had foresight to already lay out certain framing to anticipate all mechanical runs, including home automation.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew blocking. We already discussed where travel paths were going to be for either waste lines or HVAC lines. I already started thinking about, well, hang on a sec. They're going to have to pass it through here. They're going to have to go through here. I want to avoid no bulkhead. So he noticed that. And then when I got back in town, because I was on vacation, I got back in, I met him, super nice guy, great guy. He left Canada, went to Paris. And all of a sudden he started complimenting all these little details. He goes, not a lot of people do this. And he said, like less than 10% of the good GCs do this. And I was never asked to do this. I figured it out to do this because I was conscious of the trades that were coming and what they would need next, right? That's all it was. I had a conversation with the trains going, what do you need? Plumber, mm-hmm. electrician, you know,
electrician. Yeah, they appreciate that too.
Yeah, they totally appreciated that, right?
Because you're there. They want to know too. Like, they can see that.
But it makes it look cleaner. Like, mm-hmm. And then you notice that they'll end up doing it in their own house. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about it, right? Which is really good. So you're like, okay, so that works. Yeah. And then when I got started in construction, you started noticing tradespeople ask you, can I take a picture? Can I take it? Of course you can. It's your work, man. Take a picture, post it, share it. I don't care. It's your work. So I started realizing, well, hang on. It's like we're doing something different here. They're taking more pride because most of the time, the industry is about blinders. They just come in, do their job, punch the clock, and get out. Mm-hmm. Like, deliver what I need to deliver and get out. I never got along with those guys.
Yeah.
I wanted people who cared about doing a little bit extra. Meet Felipe, the visionary behind Versa Homes, a name synonymous with excellence in construction across British Columbia. Felipe's passion for high-end craftsmanship, sparked by his mentor Dan Zecklin, drives him to deliver exceptional results in every project. At Versa Homes, every detail matters, and Felipe's unwavering commitment to precision ensures that each project meets the highest standards. Client satisfaction is more than just a goal, it's at the heart of everything Felipe does. He's dedicated to making the construction process smooth and stress-free, keeping projects on time, within budget, and meticulously organized. If you're looking for a builder in British Columbia who values quality and client care as much as you do, look no further. Discover what sets Versa Homes apart. Reach them at www.versahomes.com or call them today at 778-65-BUILD, B-U-I-L-D, or connect with them on social media under @VersaHomes. Versa Homes, where your vision meets their commitment to excellence. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I am seeing that in some of the younger trades that they do. There are guys out there that are really taking pride and they care about what they're doing. And they are like the videos and the social. And it's good to see versus the guys that just come in and come out. We generally don't have a lot of those guys that are just there to punch the ticket. Like, we want guys that, like, you know, really, really display, and you pay for it. Like, don't get me wrong.
You pay a little bit more for it, because at that point, 15 years ago, I didn't see many electricians thread their wire through a sheet of fire rated plywood. Right? We were doing that on purpose, which was a pain in the ass if you think about it, because you have to build temporary. And then you got to drill all the holes and all the lines that you're running, feed all the lines, and then get the panel on board. But then you get the electrician kind of just screwing the panel on board, and then I'm there on the side dropping off a torpedo on the top there just to make sure that it's perfectly level.
Yeah.
And he's looking at me going, well, you're already screwing it in, so why not just screw it in perfectly level?
Yeah.
Simple as
that.
Take
the extra step.
So then they started realizing, okay, well, technically speaking, it didn't take that much longer to get that step taken care of as if you were to just slapped it on, right? There's a house in my neighborhood. They've got solar panels on the roof, and the transfer switch is fucking out of level. And it just, like, I'm almost at the point of knocking at the door, going, like, can you call this guy back and just fucking put this straight?
And if,
like,
you can see it from where? From the road?
I'm from the sidewalk. I'm looking at the sidewalk, and every time I walk by it, I'm like, man, that transfers. Like, it's off. It's off.
Not
like
even close.
I would say, like, you know, it's only, like, this wide, right? It's got to be off by about a half inch.
Okay.
And it bugs the shit out of me, because it could have been drilled perfectly level when it was being drilled. So it just bugs the shit out of me at that point, right?
Someone rushing to get it done and on to the next one.
That's the majority of the industry, and it's unfortunate that's what clients, for the most part, paint the industry with, the same brush, right? And then they don't appreciate when they get good people come in and giving them valuable insight on how things should be done. Yeah. But then they balance it with our budget, and are we going to stay a long time? Mm-hmm. Where do you see the future of your business now? Are you working on how it's going to look a decade from now?
Yeah, really focusing on, you know, where we want to go and what direction we want to do. I had thoughts of scaling up and becoming this big company and getting multiple crews and multiple, but
why'd you want to go down that road?
I don't know. It was just, I wanted to sell and, you know, dollar signs here and there. But then working with this consultant, you know, dropped me back down to, you don't need to do a lot. Like, we can do a, you know, X amount of jobs a year with kind of the team we have in place, maybe a couple more pieces, less stress, less work, more balance outside of work, more training for Ironmans, more family stuff, things like that. So I think that's more of the goal we want to do. And then eventually, like, I always wanted to do custom homes. I don't know if there's going to be money in them, like we just talked about. Like, I don't know if it's there.
Mark, I will say this, because I lost money. Mm-hmm. Everybody I know that does it on their own mm-hmm. loses money. I would say the best thing you can do mm-hmm. is find a mentor.
Yeah.
And whether they can do it for free, if they could fit in their time, or you pay them for their time, mm-hmm. get a person who's gone through it mm-hmm. to just shadow you and yeah. just be at your, hopefully, beck and call, maybe on a weekly basis, where you can just send them a text and just verify certain things,
yeah,
because they will tell you which holes to avoid.
Yeah.
And then you will eventually not make a shitload of money, but you will not lose a shitload of money. And hopefully you don't break even. You want to make a little bit of profit.
Yeah.
But that's the first thing. Like, you could totally make money off of building homes for mm-hmm. people, but you got to be guided by it, by mm-hmm. somebody else who's already done it.
Yeah. Luckily I have a couple people in my network that, you know, I could probably call upon for that. So that's good. Yeah. Cause I don't know if it's, there's always going to be renovations, right? Your yeah. kitchens, basins, bathrooms, all that stuff. There's always going to be there. So that's always, I think we can sustain that for 10, 20 years. That's good. But long term, I think if you can do one house a year, two house a year, it's even less, you know, less headache. It's the same job. You know, it's in Burlington, ideally. You know, have traffic. I worked in Toronto. It was the death of me. Like, downtown Toronto, never again. Like, I spent 6 months there. Project turned out beautiful, but it was like that traffic with the gardener. I can't do it. Even Oakville, like, I was coming to have the downtown one, Trafalgar. From where I am in Burlington, one morning it was like 40 minutes from, like, Waterdown Road to Trafalgar, 40 minutes. Like, ludicrous. Like, I would love to just stay in Burlington. There's so many nice neighborhoods there. And I think there's enough work in that area to do it.
I saw traffic congestion the other day recently, not too far from near this location. The stop and go traffic was directly related to everybody hopping off of the lanes to get into the merging lane, to get to the very end of the merging lane. That was that 110%, that was creating all the congestion before that. There was no accident, no slowdown, no construction, no nothing. Yeah. It was everybody taking off and getting down that merging lane to just get to the very end was creating all that.
To get what? 7 cars ahead, and like, what are you going to shave 30 seconds off your trip? I think
that should be an offense in the highway traffic.
Demerit points.
I think it should be demerit points.
Yeah, 100%.
There is that argument of, well, you're supposed to let people in. But no, you're not supposed to go to the very end. You're supposed to actually get into traffic mm-hmm. when there's a time to get into traffic. Yeah. Whether that's at the very beginning or the very end of it. But if you pass by an open spot, then yeah. that's demerit points. You should be impounded.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I was just stunned because I was watching this. I was just sitting there. And I'm like, I'm not going to play this game. And then sure enough, I watched car after car go through this.
Yeah, I used to see it all the time. And when I worked at my first construction company, I drove a big Dodge with a huge trailer. And I would see it. And I would kind of like block them off. And people would get so mad at you.
I know.
It's just like, I can see you. Like, I have a rear view mirror. I saw you do it. Like, I'm not blind and you're getting all upset about it. Like, yeah, we saw you.
But people in Toronto don't. And I encompass everybody. Oakville, Burnett, all the areas mm-hmm. there. They do the same stupid things on the roadways, right? They think they're going to get there further and faster because of this. No. All you're doing is creating more congestion.
Yeah. That people don't think.
No, I agree. Like, Toronto used to be bad 15 years ago. It's just terrible. Like, it's not even a conversation now how bad it is.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It doesn't matter what they build. Like, right now, going into the city, there's slowdowns at Mississauga Road. There's slowdowns mm-hmm. at the 427. They're trying to make everything wider at those two points. But I'm like, let me just talk about some kind of basic math here. The traffic between those two points, the width of the highway, is exactly the same. So you're making it wider at these two points.
For what?
What do you think is going to happen when they get to this narrow point?
Yeah.
Even though the lanes are the same width, but mindset-wise, because they're encroaching the sides, they start to slow down as a result. What you need is drivers who don't get licenses too soon. You need drivers to actually go through far more rigorous testing. That's what you need, but that's not what's happening.
No.
So you get congestion. Simple as that. Which hurts. I mean, that's why I spoke up one time where I said, I think HOV lanes should belong to tradespeople. If you have tractors, trailers, I think they should be allowed there. But then everyone started saying, well, then that means doctors, lawyers, everybody should be allowed in there.
Sure.
Sure, then go ahead, right? Fine. Use it as a fourth lane.
Yeah.
Because it can, it creates congestion as well, too, when everyone's trying to slow down to get it back into the highway.
Yeah.
But either Toronto's, there's a reason why Toronto's actually been voted the worst traffic in the entire world.
Yeah, it's terrible. Because they didn't plan, like, what, they didn't plan from the start. All the other major cities all around the world have proper transit.
And they continue not to plan it.
Yeah. And now what's the, I saw what Doug Ford wants to do, a tunnel? What's this?
Doug Ford wants a pension plan. That's what he wants.
I think he's got plenty of money stocked away from his last couple of years.
When you get that much corrupted money, you want more. Yeah. That's all it is, right? You don't want to take that tap down to nothing, right? Yeah. You don't want to be a draw, like a little drip here and there. No.
No.
I look at that and I'm already seeing the billions of dollars that are going to go over budget and how that money is just going to go into pockets
of them, yeah.
And then the work is just going to be like, we'll never see it in our lifetime.
It'll never get done. Yeah.
It'll get approved, they'll get started, and then it'll never get completed.
Yeah. It's
and then you wonder why that, like, how did the tunnel get completed so quickly? There was no issue whatsoever. It got done. It's a great idea, but it you can't give it to them to do it. You have to give it to real tradespeople to do it. People that won't take advantage of the system. That's the only way it's going to get done, but it can. There's lots of great ideas, but that's not Toronto.
No.
Toronto's about taking the money and running. Simple as that. It's hard to be a business owner, right? Especially construction. And it makes you wonder how many more people are going to get into this business because we know more people are leaving this business. So you wonder why. And that's why I keep on questioning, how long are they staying?
Yeah.
Because I don't think this generation is going to be all gray hair and been doing it for 40 years. I don't think you're going to hear a lot of that. You're hearing a lot of that now. You probably meet a lot of, you probably know a lot of guys that are 60s, 70s, still swinging the hammer.
Yep.
And they've been doing it for that length of time. But I don't think this generation is going to stay that long. I think they're going to try to figure out how to make more money somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or somehow else.
Doing something easier. Digital, probably.
Well, maybe they want to get onto the management side of things. Maybe they want to do into more... You know, consultant. I there was a few guys that I met not too long ago that were talking about being consultant. They'd be three-party guys who would come in, kind of advise the clients that go in, here's your three quotes. Let me review them. I'll get back to you. This is okay. This guy's legit. This guy's legit. This guy's a little out of town, right? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, that's a kind of a good business, but clients weren't willing to pay the money to do that. And I said, it actually is going to save you a lot of money if you get someone who's more familiar with the industry than you. But then I guess through Google, through TV,
they can figure it out on their own. Yeah. Yeah, that is one avenue. I have a buddy of mine who, not quite the same as that, but they do his services, they do custom homes, but he just does the, like, you pay him a consulting fee.
Yep.
And that's what it is. Okay, your home is whatever, $1 million. You're paying me $150,000. I bring you all the trades through. Here's the 25. Well,
he's managing.
He's managing. Yeah. Here's the 25 trades that we use. I'll bring you these quotes first. You don't like them, we'll bring in all the, we'll get more quotes on all of them. So,
which is great to do it.
Yeah.
It gives them peace of mind, right?
Yeah.
And then he's getting paid his fees, not getting paid on top of that.
Yeah.
And then
he, no risk on his end. Just, which is
kind of nice.
Yeah. Like, well, I'm fixed price. So I eat the risk, but we determine what profit we want to make.
But in all honesty, fixed is a lot better,
mm-hmm.
I think, for a contractor.
I like it. That's how I learn. I know a lot of people that use all different types, and this is kind of what we're sticking with. It's what got us here. I don't plan on changing anytime soon. If there was an opportunity to do a consulting fee for it, I would probably take it just to, like, for the additional income.
Yeah.
Just to see how it goes. You're not going to lose on it.
But going back to your business idea about expanding, that could be an expansion.
Yeah,
that'd
be
right?
Great. Yeah. Add it into the services.
For sure. Because people will appreciate that, especially if you got a clientele that you already did jobs for, that they trust you, they have a factor with you. And then they can recommend somebody and you can come in as a consultant management side of things, right? Which works.
Yeah.
I think, like, in the beginning, I was the same way. I was cost plus, and then I switched over towards the end by fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Started realizing that, I guess, cost plus for the majority of the industry thinks you can make more money that way because you're adding points to whatever's coming through the job. But then what it does is it creates friction with the client.
Yeah, because they know.
They forget about that part. Because the clients are all happy-go-lucky in the beginning, honeymoon. And then all of a sudden these invoices start piling up and then they start realizing there's an amount that's on top of that, which is part of this process. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we don't want to pay this amount anymore by the end of the job. And then it becomes friction at that point. Fixed price, they're like, okay, this is what it's going to cost. Yeah. This is what I owe you this month, next month, next month.
Yeah.
It's better. It's a lot better than you're just on the, you know, you have to deliver. That's all you have to do as a contractor. Mm-hmm. which makes a lot of sense. So I don't know what the majority of younger guys are doing, how they're looking at it, which is better for them.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I assume cost plus, because they probably want to make a little bit more money on the project, right? But they're not the best at handling customer service. Mm-hmm. That's where they kind of falter, right? Experts in smart home technology. Why settle for anything less than a home technology service company that truly understands flawless Wi-Fi, unparalleled security, and immersive whole home entertainment? Andrew is the driving force behind Uplink Smart Homes. He isn't just an industry expert, he's a visionary who creates smart spaces that resonate with your lifestyle. In today's connected world, clients demand more than just speakers and routers. They want an integrated system that seamlessly blends technology with the fabric of their home. Andrew and his team are dedicated to turning your home into a hub of innovation, where every device, network, and system works in harmony to enhance your daily life. At Uplink Smart Homes, they specialize in designing and installing cutting-edge smart home systems tailored for your unique needs. From optimizing Wi-Fi coverage for flawless connectivity in every corner of your home, to implementing healthy home options like circadian rhythm lighting, their solutions are both high-tech and user-friendly. They also create whole home entertainment setups that deliver stunning audio-visual experiences, whether you're streaming your favorite shows or hosting a movie night. Andrew's approach goes beyond simply installing equipment. It's about truly understanding their clients and designing a smart home that caters to them. Contact Uplink Smart Homes today at 289-240-0600 or visit them at www.uplink.ca. For inquiries, email them at admin@uplink.ca. They guarantee that smart home technology will make your life better, but only if it's done right. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life, I think.
Yeah.
But maybe they're paying attention. They're trying to figure out what to do better, or even try different, maybe do one job one way, do another job another way, and see which one goes smoother in the whole thing, right? That goes back to your idea of someone coming in and giving you a third-party assessment of what's happening so they can do the exact same thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot of the younger guys, at least like from my experience, is like you didn't know anything. You probably were like,
you made it up as you went.
You had your hourly whatever, and this is what you thought, and then maybe you work for a couple of years and you realize that you don't have money in your account, so you're going to do it a different way. You're like, hey, I'm working all these hours, I'm putting in 40, 50, 60 yeah. hours a week, yeah. I'm billing out at those, but I still don't have any money. Like, no, something's not adding up here. Yeah. And then you look into it and you're like, okay, like, I didn't realize this. My insurance is this much and all this stuff. My truck payment at 10%. Like, oh shit, I need to add that into my overhead. Oh, I don't even know what overhead is. Like, so like, yeah, when you're young, those are like, I made those mistakes. That's why I specifically said
We all made those mistakes. Those
exact ones.
I priced jobs based on what my expenses were coming in. I was like, okay, well, I got to cover this nut.
Yeah.
And then, okay, all right, technically that sounds about right. That's what it'll cost to do that bathroom. Okay, that makes sense. It gets approved. Great.
Yeah, cash.
I'm covered for this month, right? No, I used to. And then you start to realize, hang on a sec, you got to build a business here.
Yeah.
There's your make payment, then there's profit.
Yeah.
And then you got to put it back into the company and grow it and then hire other people.
Yeah.
I think going back to the whole hiring somebody to do a house and you've never done it before, do the same thing with business, man. Go to a different industry and reach out to someone who's successful and go, can you sit down and give me a couple hours each week and I'll pay you X amount and just teach me what I should know and what I should do?
Yeah, that's what nobody teaches you what to do, right? So you got to reach out. Luckily, so I think you do a good job of it, but like the construction industry is everybody's available. Like through social media now, like I've met and connected with so many people in the industry, entrepreneurs who've had small plumbing businesses, small building companies, where you message them similar how we connected.
Yeah.
You just talk to these random people. You don't know them, but everyone's like, yeah, like I'll help you out. No problem. Yeah, you want to meet for coffee and go over this? Like, hey, I'm using Jobber. Like, oh, I can show you everything about this one. You were thinking about doing it. Met with them. They would show me through everything of it. Like, for no reason. They didn't gain anything from it. I got a coffee out of it. So like, yeah, the construction industry specifically, because we're in it, but I've noticed like everybody is like putting a helping hand out. So it's
great.
They're there.
Yeah.
Which is great. And like, even though you have like direct competitor. I have direct competitors that I talk to all the time. I'm like, hey, I priced that job too. Like, what did you like? What'd you get that at? Cause like they post the stories. I'm like, what'd you get that at? And they're like, hey, I got it at this. I'm like, oh damn. How'd you get it for that? Like I was like 20 points higher than you.
But that's valuable insight.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you want to find out. You actually want to lose those jobs.
Yeah. Well, that's what they told me. Like, cause we always ask why did like, What was it? Oh, this guy came and we had three quotes and you know, this, and we didn't trust the one guy. I'm like, okay, cool. And we went with this guy for this price. I'm like, oh, man, that's fucking low. I'm like, that's low. How would you get that? And you see them like, hey, how'd you get that at that? Like, what what are you paying for labor? What am I like?
Yeah.
Where are what labor? Am I missing? What am I missing? Did I do something wrong in my spreadsheet that I added up? Like, I don't think so. I think those are pretty solid, but you know, hey, go ahead.
There's always a way to have those conversations where you could either talk through the architect or the interior designer or the client if they want to still speak to you or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can find out those answers and it'll be valuable for the next project.
Yeah.
Because something's going to come down the pipe. And you're always going to be bidding other people. You're going to cross paths.
Oh, 100%.
If you're staying in your neck of the woods and you've got a radius and you're working in a certain part of each city or whatever, you're crossing paths, man.
Yeah, we're all, everyone's in that area. Like, it's, everyone's bidding against each other all the time. So, I don't know.
But a lot of guys will also think they're competition. I don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
But then you're missing out on trying to figure out what makes them tick the same way they want to find out what makes you tick. Mm-hmm. And then if you guys can compete each other, then compete against each other.
Yeah, the competition is good. You want competition.
Yeah.
You don't want to, you can't win every single job you bid on.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? You can't get all the work done.
Because the thing is, the truth is you'll come across some jobs where you did get it, even though you were the higher price. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to start wondering, how did you get the job? You were more expensive. Well, they just liked me better. They said that they had a better feeling with me. Mm-hmm. Well, then there's value in that, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you change your sales tactic.
Yeah.
Instead of just writing a price and then.
Yeah,
putting it out there,
yeah,
which is pretty.
Which
ballsy.
We don't do.
But if it works, it works, right? I don't know how many times it would work, but I could totally see it working at some point because I guess clients don't want any bullshit.
Yeah,
they just could give me the number. All right, cool.
Yeah, see, we don't do that. Like that's we're a multiple step point of contact. Well,
there's too many moving parts.
Yeah,
that's why, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't really pull that off all the time. But that's old school thinking too.
It was old school guy.
How much does digital play? Like, do you, when you're presenting your brand image, how much do you cater towards the digital image of your brand?
We do focus a lot on digital. I'm just not sure.
I guess is there an ROI? Not necessarily getting an actual job, but is there an ROI down the river when you're focusing on this digital content kind of thing?
There should be. What it is, I don't 100% know. Like I don't spend a lot of time on it. I do a lot of the digital stuff myself.
Yeah.
I have a marketing background from years and years ago.
Nice.
Before digital.
What'd you focus on?
I did marketing management in university.
Okay.
So I graduated right at the recession. Before digital, like Facebook just came out there.
Wow. So, typeset. You were doing typeset and everything.
Like. Yeah. So it was very different. But then with social media coming out there, obviously everybody gets into it. And then you can kind of see like over the last couple of years, social media and construction has just blown up. Like people have made millions based off their social media.
Think so?
I think some brands have like, I don't know, you know, Manpower Demolition.
Yeah. No,
what do you think about their social media?
I don't know. There's millions there.
Well, okay, maybe not millions, but they've created a brand off social media.
Yeah.
Like as the leading demo.
I don't think, okay, like there's two.
Well, maybe not millions then, yeah.
No, but I was just thinking like, I just read somewhere that the stupid Hawk Tui girl.
Yeah.
She's the third most listened to podcast now right behind Rogan and Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
And how? I'm like, okay, so might as well ride this river, right? Because I don't think, I've never heard the show, so I don't know. I don't know her. I don't know what the content is or whatever. But social media also has this reality filter attached to it where it's you present that you're bigger than you really are.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And when it comes to construction, there's only a handful of people I think that have done really well financially speaking, but they've done it because they've geared towards DIYers.
Mm-hmm.
And the two that I can think of right now is Winnie Designs and also Refresh Guys.
Okay.
Right? So those two guys, I know for a fact that they've got a lot of relationships with certain products and brands. But the thing is, those products and those brands are heavily DIY gravitated towards, mm-hmm. right? They're not geared towards the pros. Mm-hmm. Regarding pros, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know enough information. There's a cap on all the tour reviewers. There's a cap on, I received free tools for the longest time, and it's great. It gets real bored real quickly, right? And then you start realizing that you want some marketing dollars, you want some money. So then you get a little bit of marketing dollars at that point too. But I don't know if it's in the same level as like certain other influencers out there that are making certain prices for a post and what have you. But I also think that the market, especially with the economy, they're getting savvy to it. How many people do we know that are becoming influencers that get free trips and free hotels and free flights and all this other stuff? You might get a little bit of those perks associated with construction, but is it a full-time job where you're making six figures, seven figures? I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
Right? Is it contributing? So back to Manpower, is it contributing to his bottom line for his business? Possibly. Yeah. Totally, right? Because he's getting out there, but I don't know what the numbers are like.
Yeah.
So, and how much effort he puts to put stuff out there. There's also a cost associated with creating all this content, managing all this content. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if those numbers are there. That's the thing about it.
Yeah, I dabble into trying to figure that out as well. It's like, how much, like, is there an ROI on it? Is my ideal client on Instagram? Like, are they looking at my Instagram stories? Are they doing my stuff? Because I think, so I guess a custom home, if you were like, most people that are looking for a custom home builder,
they're not.
Are they going on Instagram?
Nope.
No. Yeah. So no. So you don't. Why? If you're a custom home builder, which most custom home builders, they don't post a lot, and whatever they do post, it's like a one still shot. Here's the custom home we just built. Call us for.
I think if you're a custom home builder, I think you'd be better off being on LinkedIn.
I had someone tell me from the States. So he said. He said, are you on LinkedIn? I said, no. He goes, who's on LinkedIn? Oh, I don't know. My doctor, my lawyer. He goes, do you want those guys as your clients? I go, yeah. He goes, start posting on LinkedIn. So what do? We just post on LinkedIn, a lot of team stuff. Like, where's the value?
Yep.
What's your investment?
I think you'll get more value out of LinkedIn than you would get out of IG or TikTok, right?
Yeah. And I think for me, it was like IG, you do it, you know, that's how you started. It's where your brand started. You like to do it. You want to show everybody out there. We show... Me specifically, like I show us like what we win at, but I also share like the stuff I screw up. Like
is valuable.
Hey, I screw, we're a business, we're human. I screwed this up, but here's what I'm gonna do to fix it. Yeah, we fixed it right away. Talk to the client. Hey, Mark, you know, in the review, Mark made mistakes. Mark and his team fixed them immediately. Yeah. Thank you very much.
It's the best way to present yourself.
Thank you very much. Like,
I look at the two platforms this way. IG is a reflection of your character and your personality. So if they want to get to know who you are as an individual, I like this person, I don't like this person, or I like his special interests, I like his extracurricular activities or whatever. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn is company culture.
Yeah.
So it's like the professionalism there, because he's right. It's, you have those professional people that are looking for it, and that's the platform that they're on. But I'm also seeing residuals going on Facebook now because Facebook's demographic is growing.
I've heard that too. Back to Facebook. That's
the reason why.
So who has Facebook? Everybody has Facebook, at least who we're targeting from.
Yeah.
Like not everyone in that, I'm going to say like age demographic has Instagram, which is great. So we put everything on Facebook as well, but maybe we start changing how we put it onto our Facebook
page. I definitely think that every business should be catering every platform differently.
Differently, yeah.
Yeah. But I definitely think that I'm totally fine with being on TikTok as well, too. TikTok is not a young people platform anymore. Yeah. Everybody's on TikTok now. But your content has to be different. And I think it has to be, TikTok and IG are still your character, your personality, who you are, what you find funny, what you find humorous. But there's a line to be drawn. It depends on what you want to. I'm not a GC anymore. Mm-hmm. So I can say, I think a lot of clients are assholes and it doesn't affect my business. I would not recommend a standing GC who's running a proper business out there to say that, right? But here's the funny thing though, Mark, because of this show, I get clients reaching out to me, who would you recommend?
Yeah.
Because there's value in, I've spoken to almost 700 people. So I've got a pretty good gauge of the industry. So my opinion regarding who you should recommend has value associated with it. That's where the difference is. So I can still say clients are assholes, but you know what? If you really want a good plumber, X, whatever trade it is, I'm going to recommend these people, right? And then reach out to them. And it's not that I'm like Manny approved or Manny stamped or whatever. I'm just saying, based on who I've spoken with or who I've even hired and I've seen their work themselves. And I always make that distinction too. When I do, if someone reaches out, I go, listen, they've done jobs for me. I've seen their work, you know, but this person has been on the show and I had a really great conversation with them and I vouch for them. That's how I leave it at that. I want them to still do their homework. But that's how I see it. That I think that if the kids or even the older guys do the exact, there's lots of older, old school guys that are broken up so much with their political correctness that I think would do extremely well on IG and TikTok. I think they would have a massive following just for them being that old school, rugged kind of mentality.
Because there's not much of that on there.
That's exactly
it's why. All younger.
It'd be so refreshing to see a man or a woman who was like, I remember in the 70s when it was like this, right? And they're talking about drywall or talking about some sort of aspect of construction. I think people would be glued in watching
I would love it.
We would, as an industry, would love it. But then the clients would go like, I want this guy in my house. Mm-hmm. I want this girl in my house. I want them to be building my backyard or something like that, right? That's why I think there's value there. I also think there's huge value. There's a lot of guys, as we know, in construction that don't, English is not their first language, which is 100% totally fine. I'm envious of them because they speak three more languages than I speak, right? Yeah. So it's like, I think you should primarily focus on your language. Like, do pages that are specifically Italian or Portuguese or Spanish or whatever. Don't say a lick of English.
Yeah.
Because you'll attract a whole other market out there. And plus, you'll get people who may want to even learn construction terminology associated with that language. Yeah. Consider Expert Plumbing and Drains. When it comes to plumbing, you need someone who's not just skilled, but truly cares about the job they do. Someone like Aaron Bolin and his team at Expert Plumbing and Drains. Aaron has been in the trade for years, and he's built his reputation on one thing, commitment. Commitment to his craft, his crew, and most importantly, to you, the client. At Expert Plumbing and Drains, it's not just fixing pipes. It's about delivering the best possible service every single time on every single project. So whether you're dealing with a leaky faucet, a stubborn drain, or planning a full plumbing overhaul, Aaron and his team are ready to tackle it all with skill, integrity, and a passion for excellence. Need help now? Call Expert Plumbing and Drains at 905-531-4111. That's 905-531-4111. Or visit them at www.expertplumbinganddrains.com and on social media at Expert Plumbing and Drains Canada. Experience the difference of working with a team that's dedicated to getting the job done right. Because at Expert Plumbing and Drains, your satisfaction is their top priority. You can also email Aaron directly at aaron@expertplumbinganddrains.com. Expert Plumbing and Drains, where expertise meets care. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. How many times are we hear it in Portuguese all the time? We give the English version of a certain word that we never created. Portuguese culture hasn't created that word because that's a new technology word. So it's, I think that's the point. That's where it goes back to the character, the personality. I think it works. But Facebook and LinkedIn, 100%. You're like, this is a legitimate business. This is what this is. These are our trades. These are our project managers. This is our office manager.
Yeah.
This is our controller.
That's what, like, that's what we've done. Yeah. Like team stuff.
Because these are the people that your clients are going to deal with. Mm-hmm. They're going to communicate with and respond. So it's like, introduce them in a professional matter.
Yeah.
And that'll get you work 100%. It will.
Yeah.
But then get the jokers that you see on Instagram that are funny and lighthearted. And they're, you know, the brotherhood and sisterhood on site. Like, well, is so-and-so going to show up? Like, that's what you want. You want clients to go, is so-and-so going to show up? Because I'm really looking forward. I want them to do a post on our house. I want them to. Yeah. That's what they're going to want. Yeah. They want that connectivity, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there's value to still use that. Making it a construction career as a primary, that's challenging. It's, I think it's very challenging. A lot easier to do, I don't know, Ocean Spray cranberry juice on a skateboard going down the street. You know what I mean? But it's like, is that guy a millionaire as a result of that one video? No. Ocean Spray made a killing off of that.
Yeah.
But that's also far and few. You know, he's one of how many million that actually hit, right? So it's challenging. I think it's still challenging. I think the best thing you can do is still go meet people.
Yeah, 100%.
Find out where they hang out. Don't be stalkerish. You know what I mean? Like, just find out what Facebook groups they go to. Their parents, they have kids, where their kids are playing. What kids are kids in kind of karate or some martial arts, or kids doing other sports or whatever? Find out where they're going and then hang out at those clubs or even sponsor those events. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like maybe be the next sponsor on some kid's tournament event. And then the parents see all your company name on that. Like that I think has value.
Yeah. I was looking at, I had a couple hockey, soccer teams approach me. Didn't pull the trigger on anything, but that's a good idea.
I don't know for certain if it's 100% will work.
Yeah, but it's worth a shot. Hey, what's
but like? What it will do is it'll get you in front of potential clients. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of a brand exercise than an actual hard sell right at that moment, right? I think it's more about you're watching this game, you're taking a bunch of photos, you have a bunch of digital photos, your company name is on their jerseys, you're handing these photos out to all these people. And then all of a sudden it gets networked, you know, around to everybody. And they're like, I'm looking for a GC. I want to build a house. And I was like, Davies. You're constantly seeing Davies brand or name over. I'm like, it's not a bad way to get my messaging out there. Mm-hmm. That's why I was just thinking it could work, but it won't be a hard sell right away. No. I think it'd be a brand spot. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm envious of the young trades because they're trying a bunch of things, mm-hmm. whether they're hidden or not, they're trying.
Yeah. That's all you can do. You got to try something. Referrals will go so far, but then you gotta look at other avenues.
Leads and like I'm not a fan of Homestars or House.
Homestars, don't even get me started. I told them like just take me off the.
Did you join for a period?
No, I've never paid anything. Well, we have a page, a profile,
okay.
which we used for reviews because when I started, it was Homestars was like. More important than Google is everybody was looking at Homestars reviews. Now you can do it if you want. I don't really care if you write on it. We have it in our project closeout, whatever list. But these guys, like they call you, like they go through sales reps like crazy too. And it's like, you're hearing from new guys every time I get a post instantly. Like I'm talking, it gets loaded. My phone is ringing and it's got like, do not pick up because of Homestars. I pick it up and I'm like, I thought I'm on the do not call list. I'm like, I don't want to buy your services. Oh, you have too many leads. You got so much work lined up for the next couple of years. This is what they say to me. It's like a part of their sales scripts. I bet it is. I don't know. Anyone else, you can call in and just confirm that because I can't be the only person that they said it to. Probably. And then they're, oh, you have so much work, man. Must be nice. And I'm like, who the fuck are you?
I'm assuming they're all based on commission.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, that's your job. You have the script. This is what your boss told you to do. But there should be this note on the file that says, do not call Mark Davies because he's not paying. Cause that's what I told you to put on there year after year. I haven't got one in like this year probably, which is nice. But they were just like nonstop from different numbers and you just get all the numbers on there. And I know this is Homestars, but I saw the leads of the company I worked for before. I saw what the leads were from Homestar and they were garbage. So,
well, it was all, in my opinion, Homestars is just a race to a bottom. You're just competing with clients that just want the cheapest price.
Yeah.
So again, if you want to be a part of that market, then by all means be a part of that market. But Homestars went downhill when she sold it.
Yeah, because what did they sell it to? The
Some American corporate.
Was it Angie's?
I don't know the specifics.
But it wasn't.
The moment that she sold it is when it went down. Yeah. And an American corporation took it over and they did exactly what you expect them to do. Mm-hmm. They just did this bombardment of hard sales and that's it. And then try to get people locked in for a year and then they have a horrible time and they maybe get one or two jobs out of it, but it doesn't make any sense. And then the house thing is the same thing. Like I remember in the early days, you know how you get the badge. You're like, I built it this year. I'm like, I don't give a shit about this stuff. I never give a shit about accreditations. Mm-hmm. It wasn't part of my ball game. But then they kept on hounding you about, why don't you sign up for House Pro? Mm-hmm. And then I finally reluctantly gave in to listen to a spiel, right? So all of a sudden I'm listening to this woman tell me about the benefits of House Pro. And I found a chink in the armor when she gave me her sales pitch. So she was saying, if you join and you pay this amount, she calculated that it would cost me $3,500 a month to be with House Pro.
$3,500?
A month. So I said, okay, fine. And I didn't say anything at that point. But then she says it will get you in your geo-targeting ranking will be a lot higher at the top of the list. When someone does a search for a contractor in your area, you'll be one of the first to come up. So I just asked her, and here's the chink. I said, where do I come up now? And she goes, it's a variety. You can come up at the top. You can come up at the bottom. You can be in the middle. You can be anywhere based on your geographic area. And I'm like, so I'm not paying you anything, and I can show up at the top or at the bottom in the middle. I'm going to stay with that.
Yeah.
And I left it at that. And then she got upset because she insisted on the 15-minute call. It went 25 minutes. And then I heard the spiel. And then I said, no, I'm not interested. And then she got upset with me. And I'm like, then I never got any more badges. Yeah. I never got any more awards. And I'm like, I felt devastated. I needed therapy at that point. And it was fucking ridiculous. I just couldn't. Like, you're trying to sell me something. I'm giving you the effort of my time to listen to your pitch, and I'm like, I don't like it. I don't believe it. I don't care. And now House has kind of shifted their plan where they're trying to do that direct marketing thing where you upload a photo, they're purposely going in and they own the photo now, and now they're diving deep to find out which products are being used in that photo. And then they directly click on that lamp, couch, rug, mostly furnishings, decorative products, not construction material. I had that idea years ago for construction material during rough stages, right? To do the exact same thing. But then you click on that product and it brings you to a window to purchase that product where obviously they've got a relationship with Wayfair or they got a relationship with Amazon or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's where the revenue stream is coming from now. Because it ain't coming from the $3,500 a month from contractors.
Yeah, I looked at House too because they have a CRM platform. Do you know anything about it?
I gave up on it.
Based on what I had heard about House before and how what they were doing, I had like my thoughts and doubts on what their CRM software was going to be because I was looking to go what we were going to do for CRM. Didn't pick anything, but that was on there just to see. But no,
I just them and Homestars. They benefit, you don't benefit.
Yeah.
And I've always said that anything you do for your business has to benefit you greater than the cost that you're paying for something. Mm-hmm. So if it's not going to do that, then it's not worth it. Simple as that. Yeah. It has to benefit your business. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, you get a lot of young guys who get stuck into it, they get called into it, then they all of a sudden like, let me give it a try. Yeah, all of a sudden you're like.
$3,500 at a year? Holy shit. That's why you don't have any money left at the end because you're not getting that back. There's no chance.
I think the best thing you can do is just try to plant yourself in the area that your clients are potentially going to be.
Yeah.
And then they'll just think about you. I mean, there's a reason why you kind of pay attention to certain marketing. Mm-hmm. You see certain things and it kind of, you know, stays in your head and you go from there. But us being contractors, we're also very difficult potential consumers ourselves, right? Because we know all the tricks. Mm-hmm. We kind of get a gauge of what's going on. And sometimes I'll do the calls just to get, let me see if this person is going to say something that I don't know about or whatever. And they never do. It's always the same script. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm going to go. Ciao.
Yeah. I ignore everything. They're time wasters.
I think you're better off focusing.
Text messages, calls, emails. You want 10 more leads? It's like, there's no system out there that's going to get me guaranteed work. There's nothing. There isn't. Like, I don't care who you are. The only way we're getting guaranteed work is if I go out and leads from referrals, the website, and I go to the house and get it. That's not a guarantee. You gotta go there.
What's the vibe, Mark, on the trades in general these days? Because they're coming out of so much work. Now they're coming into only so much work. And then they're wondering what's gonna happen next kind of thing. We've got an election down south. We've got our own election happening next year. Like, I guess we're trying to figure out what's gonna happen next kind of thing.
I think I've always said it from since I started. There's the really good trades are always going to be busy.
Yes.
Like if you are the best at what you do, you have no problem. The word will get out. I have a couple of these guys. They're booked. They're not worried. They actually said, I'm not even posting on social media anymore because I don't want anybody calling my phone. I have so much work. What a great problem to have. And he's like, I don't want to expand. I'm not hiring anybody else. It's me and two other guys and that's it. That's how we're going to stay because that's the quality I can keep there. Those guys, they're good. Doesn't matter what happens in November, I think.
Yeah.
They might go through some slow times where they don't have tons of work lined up, but they're always going to have work no matter what. It's the guys that aren't putting out the quality of work. My phone rang off the hook for this year. Off the hook.
On failures.
On. Do you have any drywall work? Do you have any this work? Do you have any this work? I need Derek. We'll come in. We'll do it quicker. We'll do it cheaper. We'll outbid anybody, blah, blah, blah. We're slow. We need it every day. Boom. Nonstop calls, emails, Instagram. Right off the hop when I'm getting those from those people, I know that like you're probably not at the quality that we want. What happens to those guys in the next couple of months? I don't know. Like there might not be work for them. Like you did shitty work for 4 years. Now it's people only want to like at least in where we are, like I only want the good guys. because that's what's going to get me my next job, and that's what's going to get me the referral, and that's what I want. Like, I don't want shit work. Like, no. I can't stand for it. Like, it's just not me. Never have, never will.
Was it a challenge for you to find all these good guys?
Oh, man.
Was it really? Yeah.
Yeah, well, luckily, the other company I worked at, I saw really good guys, became friends with them.
Yep.
Still to this day, they work for me. We do work.
Perfect.
I saw the really bad guys, and you're like, okay, like, that's what you don't want. Guys, you know, just have no care in the world. Just punch in, punch out. Don't even respect the client's house. Don't respect anything. Like, whereas the new guys that we use, it's like they have to follow in line kind of like with our core values too. Yeah, so you're in people, we do a lot of renovations. So you're in someone's house 50% of the time, 60% of the time, they live there.
Yep.
Their family's there.
They're
like,
hanging out.
It's like, can you start at 7:30 in the morning? No, like this person has to have breakfast with their kids and then they got to leave at 9 and then you can start at 9:01. Maybe the odd time you can start at 8, like, which is fine. We determine that before, but we sometimes have to give them that client that space. Like, it is what it is. Then when you get there, like, you got to say hi to them. You got to, like, you know, hey, how you doing? Like, you know, take your shoes off if you're going downstairs, or, you know, ask them if you can use their washroom, if we're using their washroom and things like that, even though we already agreed to that we can use their washroom. Just ask them. They're there. Like, it's just simple, like, human nature stuff, I guess, which some people don't have.
They forget.
They forget, but you're in someone else's house. Would you want them to do that in your house? 100%. Like, don't smoke your cigarette right up to the front door and throw it right on the ground or ash it into your pocket. Like, smoke at the end of the driveway and then put it in the bin. Like, I don't know. There's like, I have lists and lists of things because we, you know, I try to provide the best customer service and I pick up on these things. Like,
well, the customers are picking up on it.
Yeah.
They see it.
Yeah. It's so like, right? Some things like drive me insane. And if
they don't see it, the neighbors see it and then the neighbors tell them about it.
Oh, yeah. The neighbors. And that's what it also, like, the neighbors see me, like, I pull people's garbage cans in because they're at work all day. Like, I pull that when I get there, I'm pulling your garbage cans in. Like, you know, these clients are, you know, they've been great to me so far. They picked us. I'm walking past it. I'm parked at the end of your driveway anyways. What's it to me
to pull it? To come in and bring it in. Know. Yeah, I know.
The neighbor sees that. Perfect.
You finish the job and all of a sudden the next week comes and they're like, why are the garbage cans still out there? Well,
how'd they get
finished.
How'd they get in? And they're thinking the husband was doing it the whole time, but really it was me. I should probably clarify that though. So
he was getting the best dinners and all kinds of stuff. And you're like, wait a minute.
I didn't even have to ask you to pull the garbage in. No, it was Mark. That was me.
It was the contractor, man.
Yeah. I know. So we do like some small things like that. Cigarette butts drive me insane, but that's...
When it comes to spray foam and blown-in insulation for your next project, there's no better team than Mohammed and his crew at Foamit. With well-educated, skilled installers, Foamit doesn't just get the job done, they do it right. They take the time to properly estimate and educate you on every aspect of your project, ensuring your building envelope is airtight and energy efficient. As leaders in the industry, they bring a deep understanding of building science to every job, making sure your project stands the test of time. But don't just take their word for it. Past clients constantly praise the quality of work and professionalism of the Foamit team. From homeowners to large-scale contractors, feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, with clients appreciating their attention to detail, the thoroughness of their crew, and the results that speak for themselves. At Foamit, they pride themselves on building lasting relationships through exceptional service, reliability, and the commitment to exceeding expectations on every single project. Whether you're insulating a new build, upgrading an older property, or tackling a commercial project, Foamit is your trusted partner in achieving energy efficiency and comfort. They understand the importance of getting it right the first time, and that's why so many clients return to them for future projects. Connect with Foamit today. Reach them at 416-893-8712 or 647-961-9777. Email them at mohammed@foamit.ca or visit them at www.foamit.ca. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn to see their latest projects and innovations. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
But they all smoke, so it's...
Guys got to smoke. I get it. I understand that. But also to throw it out, there's a way to throw it out.
Yeah. Well, it's the same people. Like, I don't know. People that drive and throw cigarettes out on the roads.
Well, that bugs the hell out of me. I don't get
it. The world's your ashtray? Like... Come on, man.
Just throw out anything. It bothers me because I'm a cyclist. I'm a motorcyclist. So then, like, that shit, you know, you see it spark on the pavement, but then it bounces and then it might hit your face or whatever, right? Yeah. I'm like, I don't need that shit.
No.
No. But people are just being stupid and lazy because I guess there's no ashtrays in cars anymore that are new cars.
No.
Unless the German ones. I think German ones still have lighters in them, too.
Really?
I think you can get them in some German cars. They They still smoke. Europeans smoke a lot.
Yeah, I was just in Greece, and it was, I don't smoke, but I felt like smoking while I was there. Like, I had buddies that, like, smoke every once in a while, and they're like, we're smoking on this trip. Like, it's just, look at these, like, look at this guy over here. They're having a coffee and a smoke. Like, look, that's life. I'm like, I'll have the coffee part of it.
Yeah, I was in Turkey recently, man, and there were so many stray cats and dogs. Mm-hmm. I made jokes about how even the cats and dogs smoke.
Yeah.
They're like, everybody's, and everybody offers it.
Yeah.
Like, they're constantly offering it to you. You're like, no, I don't smoke.
Yeah,
man,
I'll take the coffee. That and they do. I was in Greece. It's the, they give shots of, what was it called? Whatever their raki is, or I forget what it is, or Zambuca.
Zambuca,
every time, I don't drink, so it's every time you get the bill, it was two shots of Zambuca, and we're like, couple things in, we're like, no, and finally, I'm like, okay, no Zambuca, and they're like, we didn't order any drinks at breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Like, I don't need a shot now. And they're just like, what the hell? Who are these?
What's wrong with this guy?
That's what they said. What's wrong with you, too? Like, what's wrong? And we're like, we don't drink. Like, it's fine. Thank you.
Start smoking, start drinking.
Yeah, like.
No, it's a different culture, right? Yeah. But then you bring it here, and I don't understand. Yeah, I get it. It's easy to flick. Mm-hmm. For the most part, I always have the metal can there.
Yeah.
And they can throw it in there. But then that's a good idea. What I don't like is that it starts to pile up. And then if it rains.
Water gets into it. Yeah.
And then it just becomes this interesting. Yeah. And you're like, well, who's responsible for this now? Mm-hmm. Well, the smokers are responsible. Why should I? I know.
Yeah, you,
they point at you.
You
put it there. You put it there. So it's not. I get the responsibility of not having any espresso pods on site if we run out. I'm like, how many GCs you know have an espresso machine on site?
One.
Guess what? This week there's no espresso pods.
Yeah.
Then that's it. Well, no, you need to get some more. I was going, you get some more then.
Yeah.
I know. It becomes like you start treating them. Trade sitting.
But then I guess that's a good thing, though. So why'd you do that?
I did it because I wanted it.
Yeah. Did you think about, like, you're saving coffee time going,
no,
guys,
no,
going,
no, nothing
okay.
to do with that. Everything that
is done for you, yeah.
is because I'm like, I'm on site. Yeah, so okay. I step up the bathroom. I get the larger one with the heat and everything like that, right? Okay. Because I'm going to use the toilet. I'm not going to go to the local Tim Hortons coffee shop or whatever. Because I personally think that that's got more bacteria inside those bathrooms than the one that's being cleaned on a weekly basis, spray down, hose down, and clean. So I'll use that. And then it was the same thing with the coffee thing. I'm not a Timmy's guy. Yeah, I'm not a Starbucks guy.
Terrible.
So I'm like, I'll have a pod. Is the pods, recently Tim just told me, now there's an issue with the pods because of the aluminum. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Because it pierces the aluminum cap on it, right?
Okay.
And then some of that aluminum is getting
into your coffee. Yeah. I mean,
and I try to do the refillable ones.
Terrible.
What a pain in the ass those are. I gave up on that, man. Yeah. The grind, put it in, pack it in there, put the cap on, then use it. And it wasn't as good. And then you're like, this is bull. I can't do this shit, right? So so I got to live with the aluminum, leave it at that, and that's fine. But
Not the worst thing. We're not taking it.
Compared to everything else that's going on, right? But yeah, no, I did it all that because of that stuff. Plus, it's nice to have that little break.
I like that idea. Yeah. You're
having a little meeting with clients. And then again, you know, like I had hardcore rentals at some point, espresso cups, and people are like, how do I get one? And I was like, I'll get you one, whatever. And then I had the Construction Life ones here, right?
Cool.
And it was the same thing. So I'm like, here you go. Because I didn't want to drink out of paper cups. It wasn't because I was being snobby or that. I just figure I use an actual China cup. Then I can rinse it out in the bathroom, and then that's my cup, and I use it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you get guys who are having four or five espressos every day on the paper cups, and then you're creating a bigger problem at that point, right? But then I guess you start giving them, and they're like, "Where is it now? Where is it now?"
You get used to it.
Anything else you want to chat about before we get to the 12 questions, Mark?
We covered quite a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I respect what you're doing and all the work, and also all the athletic, envious. Yeah. I don't know if I can.
I think you could do so. You don't have to do the full Ironman. They have like other ones. So they have like sprints, Olympics, much shorter, much reasonable. So Ironman, those are like the top. Most people start their journey at like the smaller ones, a sprint, which is very like 1/8 of an Ironman or 1/4. Like, you know, most people start that and they build their way up and they do, okay, I'm at the Ironman. I did the other way around. I was like, I'm just going to do half Ironman, full Ironman, right to it. I might switch into doing some of the shorter stuff now because it's more, A, it's not as taxing on your body. And then it's like, you know, it's not a huge commitment. It's like a 2-hour day on a Saturday. Boom. Cool. I can go in and go.
So how long is the run and how long is the ride and how long is the swim?
For a full?
Yeah.
A full Ironman is 3.8 kilometer swim,
Swim.
3.8K, yeah. So 3,800 meters. Bike is 180 kilometers.
Okay, that's reasonable.
And then the run is a full marathon, 42.2. 42. Yeah. So half is half of all those. Halves are great. Like, that's a good, you know, you can, you don't have to conserve energy, kind of. It's crazy to think about. You can go kind of all out on your bike and then all out on your run and have a pretty good day. Ironman, it's you. It's all about pace. You got to swim at a decent pace, bike at a decent pace. And then your marathon, you're not going to run a full marathon after biking that. You run quite a bit of it. You have to do some like strategic intervals throughout it, but yeah.
I'm not the best swimmer.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty good cyclist. Mm-hmm. I'm not the best runner.
Yeah. So a lot of people, like, you can walk the run part.
Well, that's eventually going to happen.
If you get out, I wasn't a good swimmer either.
Yeah.
And I was like, just get out of the swim and I can do perfect.
Yeah.
Then I got like, I focused heavy on swimming and I got really good at swimming. So I was like, oh, I put up a really good number of swim. I'm a pretty damn good biker. I'm not the best runner. I'm getting there. So it's like you put those two together and the next thing you work into, you know, you get really good at running and you can have a fun day.
When's the next one you're doing?
I don't know. I had to take the summer off. I had to cancel what I had. So I'll probably do a comeback into July. Muskoka is a good one. It's a half. It's like early July. I'll probably do that. It's a nice one. My cottage is like 30 minutes away. So you take out like the stress of the traveling and the staying and everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, all the best with it, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on here.
Yeah, no, it's been fun talking with you, man. Mm-hmm. Davies General Contracting, info at daviesgc.ca, 905-746-5625, on IG at davies.gc. What's your favorite construction word or phrase?
It is what it is.
You like that phrase? I feel... That phrase is kind of like, okay, that's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of young guys say it, and I'm like, it isn't what it is. It could always be better.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. But no, I get it. Least favorite tool?
The multi-tool. I saw
which brand?
I saw the meme. Well, anything but DeWalt, because I use DeWalt. So Milwaukee, for my friends out there that work for Milwaukee.
It's pretty quiet.
Yeah. I saw a meme. It's like you're in a homeowner's house at 8 a.m. and all you hear is like the multi-tool sitters. The guy spinning around.
There's no way to make that tool quieter.
No. It's just the vibration of it, how it works, I guess, right? I don't know. I don't use a lot of tools, so that's a good question to ask me. So.
Well, the problem the sound is coming from the length of the blade and the vibration, how far apart it is. But you can't reduce the length because you need to get into the material to cut it. So you can't get rid of that sound. There's no way to get rid of that sound. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
But the DeWalt one's the loudest one. I don't care what anybody says, man. I bet you could hear it over a lawnmower, an internal combustion lawnmower. What do you miss from your childhood?
Not having any responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. What construction sound do you love?
I like hearing roofing, to be honest, like the nailer. Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a very good one. Favorite beverage?
Coffee.
What turns you on and off in construction?
What turns me on is... you know, completing projects for clients, you know, seeing them happy with the finished product and appreciating the work that we do. So the opposite, what turns me off is people that don't appreciate the work that we do.
I did a job one time, really high-end basement. I came back a year later, just I was in the neighborhood, stopped by to say hello. They like literally bubble wrapped it. Like they took care of it. They didn't do anything. Like there was no damage, no scuffs, no nothing. And I was like, guys, are you even using the base? Because we're too nervous to use it. It's just too good. And I was like,
is that
use
bad?
It. Just use it. I want to see some wear and tear. No. We don't want to wear and tear.
You did such a good job that they don't want to use it. Is that like, how do you feel about that?
No, they don't want to wreck it.
I know. It's like,
I'm like,
but you did such a good job. You're like, but we built this so that you could use it. Like,
They just look at it. That's what they're still using the rest of the house. And I was like, I didn't get it. I didn't understand that at that point. But favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
any mode of transportation.
Yeah.
I love my truck, so I spend most of my time in it. So that's
what do you got, a Ford?
F-150, yeah.
Yeah. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
I believe, if anything, I would probably get into the health and fitness industry. Just because over the last couple of years, that's kind of what I've dived into. Aside from construction, health and fitness has really been on my mind, and I think I'd do well in it.
How do we start a following where we can get rid of GMO in Canada? Oh, man. Is that possible?
I don't know.
Or at least warning signs and put cupboard doors the same way they treat cigarettes now.
Yeah.
For all these products.
It'll never happen.
It'll never happen. I know.
But they don't want, yeah, I know. Like, I've switched. So my recent, like, I was eating pretty healthy before. And then just recently I've gone to, I'm going to say extreme. Some people call it extreme. It's like, so non-GMO, pasture raised chicken, pork, grass fed, grass finished beef, organic, everything. Like, cause something is wrong with the food that we are eating, and something, and specifically with the disease that I was diagnosed with, it's in North America and it's the United States and Canada have the highest rates. So what are we eating here? Like, they don't have it in like Europe. It's not, it doesn't exist. Like, people don't have it in Europe. So what are they eating there? What are we doing here? Like, is it, if there's obviously lifestyle, there's plays a huge role in environmental factors.
Of course.
But I'm like, almost positive there's diet in there and the foods that we're eating. And then you look at, like, you could go like on and on forever, but like the food pyramid, it's like, oh, you need to be eating all this stuff. And it's like
full of shit. Yeah.
The last 30 days I've eaten only steak, eggs, fruit, and honey. I feel great. I feel great. I'm still working out. I'm still operating my business. Don't particularly like vegetables anyways, so I haven't been really eating them. The odd potato here and there. Like, I got my blood tested leading up to it. I'm probably going to get it tested next week too. I'll see what the levels are. My cholesterol isn't up. I don't know what anybody says about that.
It's all
these things are the good foods for you. They've been around for thousands and thousands of years, but we grew up, and I get it, and I see other families doing it right now. It's easy, like your cereals and stuff, and like
you'll never see. I had someone tell me about, yeah, but I eat cashew. And I was like, dude, yeah, just read the ingredients, garbage, man.
Yeah, and it's like, you grew up having it, and I get it. They didn't know any better. That's like, you know, now you have the information. It's available for everybody to look into the foods that you're eating, where it's coming from. It's, the information is there. It wasn't available. It wasn't available then, but now technology, social media, books, whatever you want to do, research, it's all there, and it's blatant now. Like,
I know.
It is right in front of you. Like, this food is like so bad for you. It's terrible.
The scariest thing is just read the ingredient list for Heinz mustard or ketchup or mayo from America and from Europe.
Yeah.
And the ingredients differences.
Yeah.
And then also the same thing with fast food, the ingredients is like, I don't understand the grocery list of ingredients that are in McDonald's fries in America
versus fries, you can't even pronounce that, like nothing on there.
So I don't, that's why it's pretty scary, right? So I could totally see you getting into that world for sure.
Yeah, like I would love it. And like, you know, it's there. And then there's also, there is a movement going towards that way. So there's opportunity in that. Like, there's people are starting to like wake up. The last couple of years, there's at least the people that I've been hanging out with have really like opened their eyes to, you know, what we were being told leading up to this and to what's actually happening. Like,
what profession would you not like to do?
Anything to do with the government.
It's not really a job, technically.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Pardon?
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Welcome.
That's all he's got to say. Mark, thanks very much, man.
Thank you as well. That was a pleasure.
Thanks for making the time on a Saturday.
I appreciate it. Yeah. After a couple of years of avoiding the question, I finally stepped out of my comfort zone there and made it in.
I can only imagine it's a little nerve-wracking. I was never nervous from day one to do it, but I can imagine people coming on the show for the first time and just, it's a little nerve-wracking. Especially with cameras now.
I think once you get past the singing part, I think everything, you know, I'd ask you what questions were going to be asked. And, you know, you just said it's kind of flow. And I think that flew pretty well. Yeah. Right? Like, I think we kind of led and that's where worked off each other. Right? Which almost, I'm kind of glad it wasn't like, I'm going to ask you these 10 questions and I probably would have wasted 2 hours trying to get like a script for it. And then it wouldn't have come out as, you know, off the cuff and like truly what I wanted.
That's the construction death. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a different show.
Yeah.
At that point. Mark, thanks so much. I appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of the weekend and we'll chat online.
Perfect.
Ready.